This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
Good morning. It is 7:07, 7 minutes after 7 o'clock at WCHL. 58 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Widespread showers this morning. We've had a lot of rain overnight. It's awfully soggy out there, but rain continuing all day, pretty much. Then numerous showers with isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon as well. It's also a little breezy out there. High today in the middle 60s. Chance of rain is 80%. Now tonight, mostly cloudy. Numerous showers, isolated thunderstorms possible, and chance of rain is 60%. Tomorrow we're looking at mostly cloudy skies again with shattered showers and maybe thunderstorms in the afternoon, late in the day. The high tomorrow in the upper 60s. Chance of rain is 50% all day tomorrow and tomorrow night as well. So the chance of rain is not going away anytime soon. And please remember, it's wet out there this morning and a little bit hard to see as well. So maybe a little bit more caution might be called for when you're out there on the highways. NBA player Jason Collins is the first openly gay athlete to come out while playing in a major American team sport. And on the collegiate level, UNC is taking steps of its own to ensure now that the athletic community is welcoming of LGBTQ student-athletes as well. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
I think that there is certainly an openness and a desire to create an inclusive and welcoming environment.
That's Terry Phoenix. She's the director of the UNC LGBTQ Center. Phoenix has worked alongside Cricket Lane, UNC's Assistant Athletic Director for Student Athlete Development, to educate students, athletes, coaches, and staff about the importance of creating a safe atmosphere for LGBTQ student athletes.
And I do a lot of education work with athletics, so pretty much every year I talk to the incoming first-year football players.
Phoenix says UNC plans to participate in the You Can Play project. It's a national campaign dedicated to ensuring equality, respect, and safety for all student athletes without regard to sexual orientation. The National Hockey League Players Association and the National Hockey League announced its partnership with You Can Play in April. Universities like Duke, Miami, and UCLA have all produced content for the project. Phoenix says the It Gets Better video, released in April of 2012, also shows the university's attitude towards acceptance. In the YouTube video, UNC Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham, along with more than 30 student-athletes from 10 varsity teams, promoted anti-bullying and suicide prevention for LGBTQ teens. Phoenix is also a member of the university's new task force that's charged to review and enhance the university's policies and procedures for handling student-on-student complaints of harassment, sexual misconduct, and discrimination. It's being chaired by Christy Hurt, UNC's new interim Title IX coordinator. Phoenix will bring her background in counseling and violence prevention to the discussion on sexual assault.
That policy, while a lot of people have talked about it as, you know, specifically sexual assault, it actually is supposed to be covering a broader area than that.
The task force will meet throughout the summer and present recommendations to current policy by the end of the summer. For more information about the UNC LGBTQ Center and the You Can Play project, or to watch the UNC It Gets Better video, visit our website, chapelboro.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
UNC is holding the Think Fast Forum today. It's a discussion about the Boston Marathon bombings featuring UNC experts in public policy, religious studies, history, journalism, and law.
The Boston Marathon bombing was definitely a traumatic and important event, and I think a forum like this can contribute to better understanding about the risks involved, how this came about, what we need to do to prevent things like this in the future.
And as forum speaker David Schanzer, professor of public policy at Carolina and Duke. He's also the director of the Triangle Center of Terrorism and Homeland Security, a research initiative between UNC, Duke, and RTI International.
I hope to think to talk about the issues of motivation and the questions of radicalization of individuals and what causes that and also how it can be prevented.
The forum is happening from 6:30 until 8:30 p.m. today at the George Watts Hill Alumni Center on UNC's campus. That's right next to Keenan Stadium. It is free and open to the public.
I expect we'll have agreement on some issues but disagreement on others, and that's what these kinds of events are useful to do, to have dialogue and debate.
Speaker Louise McReynolds is a professor of history and is currently studying how sensational murders have raised a number of social and political questions.
Because as an historian, I always want to have some larger perspective on situations that happen this quickly.
For a full list of speakers at the Think Fast Forum, visit our website, chapelboro.com. Again, that happens tonight from 6:30 until 8:30 p.m. at the George Watts Hill Alumni Center on the Carolina campus. As technology becomes increasingly important in today's society, several branches of the local government are turning more to social media to communicate with the public. But some officials are still cautious about making the shift. WCHL's Ann Brenner has the story.
For the Chapel Hill Police Department, Sergeant Josh Misimore says officers are primarily focused on using Twitter instead of Facebook for up-to-the-second news.
In the past, we've kind of put out the same content on both services, and I think moving forward, you'll see more of the current events, up-to-the-minute kind of stuff on Twitter from us, and then maybe use Facebook for more of the information about ongoing investigations or trying to solicit input from the public, put out more detailed information about things that are going on with the police department or things we're doing around town.
Missy Moore says the Chapel Hill Police Department's Twitter page has particularly seen success when it comes to traffic enforcement announcements.
When our traffic unit is out doing speed enforcement or stop sign violations in a particular part of town, when we put that out, that's one of the things that gets retweeted the most by people because it seems like that's of great interest to people. They want to send it out to their followers so that they know that we're doing speed enforcement somewhere and we're not trying to hide it.
But unlike Chapel Hill, the town of Carrboro hasn't set up social media sites for law enforcement. Here's Lieutenant Chris Atack of the Carrboro Police Department.
The town has a Facebook account, as well as a Twitter account. We don't have a separate police department one at this time. So if there's any sort of information that needs to go out about upcoming events or other public safety issues, we usually use those two outlets.
Still, ATAC says the idea isn't off the table for some point in the future.
It's been an avenue we've been looking at for a period of time because there are some, obviously, departments in the area that have Facebook presence specifically, and there is certainly utility in that application, so that's something that we're exploring.
For the town of Hillsborough, Facebook has been a useful tool in the apprehension of suspects. According to the town website, in March of 2012, officers started using Facebook to request tips from the public. Since that time, 14 posts have resulted in suspect identifications or arrests. Facebook tips have also led officers to recover numerous stolen items. While in the educational branch of local government, Chapel Hill Carrboro City School Board member James Barrett says while social media can be valuable, it's not without its risks.
I think the biggest one is that it's very easy to say something that can be taken out of context. And it's really true of all electronic communication. There's no tone, and so people lose that perspective on what's being said.
The Chapel Hill Carrboro City School District does have both a Twitter and a Facebook page, but Barrett says right now the board's members are leaving most social media projects to Executive Director of Community Relations, Jeff Nash.
I think that Mr. Nash is certainly cognizant of trying to communicate with people more and be open to people more, and so I think he's looking for ways to do that, but it's not been a serious push of the board, I don't think.
But Barrett, who recently wrote a blog post on the growing role of social media in local government, says he acknowledges the importance of social media for the district, especially for sharing images.
I think particularly our Facebook presence allows us to share photos. It's been great for people to be able to see Northside Elementary going up and things like that. So we're definitely moving in the right direction.
You can follow links on our website at chapelboro.com to access the social media sites for the Chapel Hill and Hillsborough Police Departments, as well as the Chapel Hill Carrboro City School District. Ann Brenner, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Good morning. It is 7:16, 16 minutes after 7 o'clock, WCHL. Time now for Traffic and Weather Together. And traffic is brought to you this morning by Carrboro Family Medicine, serving Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and surrounding communities for 30 years now. If you like the idea of a team whose goal is your good health, join them at Carrboro Family Medicine. You can find them on the web at CarrboroFamilyMedicine.net. And now, with your morning traffic on WCHL, here is Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. Still good news out there right now. I-40, 15501, NC-54, and the Durham Freeway not reporting any accidents or delays at this time. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, be sure to give us a call, and you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. 919-967-8363 is the number to call, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that safely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And thanks for all the work you're doing back in the newsroom all morning.
Certainly.
All right. Talk to you later. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather, brought to you by Glass Half Full. Glass Half Full is a friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right at the heart of downtown Carborough. Good food, fine wine, lots of fun, too. Online at glasshalffullcarborough.com. 58 degrees and wet this morning. Widespread showers in our forecast. And a little breezy out there, too. Numerous showers in the afternoon with isolated thunderstorms possible. High today about 65. Chance of rain is 80% all day. Now, tonight, we'll have a 60% chance of rain. And then tomorrow, we're looking at mostly cloudy with scattered showers. Isolated thunderstorms possible. High tomorrow in the upper 60s. Tomorrow night, low in the low 50s. Still 50% chance of rain. Then a 40% chance of rain on Wednesday. Chance of showers, thunderstorms, particularly in the afternoon. And high in the upper 60s. On Wednesday night, lows in the low 50s, still a big chance of rain. Then on Thursday, finally, a little breakthrough, partly sunny skies on Thursday with a 20% chance of showers in the afternoon and high about 75, but really cloudy for at least the first 3 days of the week here. So, you know, we'll get through it. That's all right. A little wet out there this morning. Just be careful out there.
Wake up with Ron Stutz and remember that we're your station for Carolina. Uniquely qualified to bring you the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Good morning.
Good morning. It is 7:19, 19 minutes after 7 o'clock at WCHL. State residents will have to wait to find out whether the state's first rule surrounding hydraulic fracturing will be approved. And in the meantime, some local residents are afraid oil industries might have too much influence over any rules that are ever allowed to exist. Here's local science expert Jeff Danner.
Here again, you know, if in the end there is no consideration of the broader concerns for protecting our water and resources, you know, I have a lack of confidence that they'll write a good rule in that case.
Last year, hydraulic fracturing, otherwise known as fracking, was formally legalized here in North Carolina. Since then, the North Carolina Mining and Energy Commission has been charged with creating regulations for the procedure. Well, last Friday, the commission was set to formally vote on its first rule, which stated that miners would have to publicly disclose certain chemicals that were being used. But at the last minute, commission members learned they could not consider the rule yet because officials from Halliburton, one of the country's biggest oil companies, believe it's overly harsh in its current form. During fracking, miners drill high-pressure fluid and chemicals into the ground to obtain natural gas. Many local politicians and residents, such as Danner, have questions about how the practice should be monitored to make sure it stays environmentally safe. Danner says this could be just the beginning of a larger pattern where high-powered oil industries have too much influence over the rulemaking process.
There are many states where the drilling industry has been successful in implementing the rule the way Halliburton wants it, where there is no disclosure required. So my concern would be that that will be the case.
And Danner adds that he believes the commission came up with the axed regulation after productive and very careful consideration.
During the 6 months or 9 months that the commission has been trying to write the rules, they've gotten lots of input from all different sources, and I'm sure it's been a challenging project for them to complete. And during that time, they considered all of those inputs and came up with this rule. But then at the end, this big oil field company giant comes in and just is able to influence our state government to turn away from the commission's work.
The commission's rule is now said to be revised by the North Carolina Department of Environment and Natural Resources. Nathan Millian, manager of Carmel Mall in Carborough, confirms there was a break-in over the weekend. Millian says he believes an unknown number of people broke into Panzanella and then from there entered the mall. Millian says the front window of the bead store was smashed through. He reports the cash register to the bead store was also damaged. He believes the intruder or intruders left through Panzanella restaurant as well. WCHL News Time, 7:21, 21 minutes after 7 o'clock. It's time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. Let's talk about lacrosse. The ACC champion UNC men's lacrosse team will play host to Patriot League champion Lehigh in the first round of the 2013 NCAA Division I Men's Lacrosse Tournament next Saturday at 12 noon at Fetzer Field on the Carolina campus. The matchup will feature two teams with the longest current winning streaks in NCAA Division I. The number 5 seed Tar Heels have won 9 games in a row and carry a 12-3 record in their postseason. Lehigh, which is unseeded, has won 7 games in a row and is now 12-4 overall coming to Chapel Hill. Tar Heels are 6-2-1 all-time against Lehigh. In the most recent meeting between the two teams, Lehigh won, defeating North Carolina 9-8. That was on March 3rd of last year. The game will be televised nationally on ESPN2. Tar Heels are in the NCAA tournament for the 28th time in school history, the 7th consecutive year. Tar Heels have qualified for the NCAA tournament in each of Coach Joe Bresci's 5 years as head coach. Lehigh is in the tournament field for the 2nd consecutive year. A year ago, the Mountain Hawks were the tournament's number 7 seed but lost their opening game to Maryland in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. UNC was the number 8 seed a year ago but lost its opening game to Denver. Carolina's all-time tournament record is 27-23. The number 5 seed is the highest for UNC since the Tar Heels received at number 4 back in 2010. Advanced tickets will go on sale today at the Ticket Center on GoHeels.com. All seats are general admission. Ticket prices are $10 for adults and $5 for students. The UNC women's lacrosse team has earned the number 3 seed in the 2013 NCAA tournament. The NCAA selection committee announced last night Tar Heels earned a bid for the 9th consecutive year and the 15th time overall. UNC will host a first-round game between High Point and Loyola on Friday at 5 p.m. The winner of that game will advance to play Carolina in the second round on Sunday at 1 o'clock at Fetzer Field. Carolina played 14 games against 12 opponents who made the expanded 26-team field this spring, including 5 games against top 6 seeds. UNC is 11-3 this season against teams in the 2013 NCAA tournament field. Carolina is a top 5 seed for the 5th straight year and is a number 3 seed for the 4th time in 5 years. UNC was the number 5 seed last year. Carolina is making its 15th NCAA women's lacrosse tournament appearance in 18 years as a varsity program. Tar Heels are 17-14 in NCAA tournament games and have made 6 semifinal appearances, including 3 in the last 4 years. In 2009, UNC reached the NCAA championship game for the first time in school history. The NCAA semifinals and national championship game to be played on May 24th and 26th in Villanova, Pennsylvania. Carolina baseball team and the Carolina softball team taking a little time off. They'll be back in action this week. Carolina baseball team, for example, begins play again tomorrow at 6. They've taken some time off because of exams, getting those final exams out of the way, and hopefully they're all doing extremely well. 7:25, 25 minutes after 7 o'clock, WCHL. Good morning. I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Who is Gary Zagar, and where will he be working next week? This is Art Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. The 11th annual PGA Tour event concluded over the weekend at the Quail Hollow Club in Charlotte. Tiger Woods wasn't there, and it's a good thing he wasn't. One complaint by Tiger over the greens would have surely cost Director of Golf Maintenance Gary Zagar his job. As it is, Zagar will likely lose it anyway. Golf course greens are one of the more finicky things in life to maintain, no matter how much money and care you put into them. Of course, more money helps, especially from creation of the greens. At Augusta National, for example, the greens have drying units underneath as well as sprinkler systems. So whatever Mother Nature calls for, the Masters putting services will be ready the second week in April. Quail Hollow wasn't so lucky this year. 3 of the greens had to be completely resided a week before the Wells Fargo Championship, one of them twice. And when you lose a green to too much sun or too much water or any of the foreign substances that can pop through the surface, you are in trouble. At the swankiest clubs, that results in unhappy members who generally have to pay an assessment to repair or, worse yet, rebuild the greens. That often causes the course to be closed for many months or have the members play on dreaded temporary greens set up in front of the real ones. On various goat tracks around the country where it might cost you $20 to play, including a cart, no one cares what shapes the greens are in. But they do at Quail Hollow deeply. The PGA players put on a happy face and said things like, "They rolled well and they were soft so we could aim right at the pins." Zagar and his staff moved the pins around to the strangest places, i.e. wherever there was lush, closely rolled grass so the pros could have a shot at making birdie. But the point is, how could this happen on the biggest weekend of the year at Quail Hollow? After all, it's the richest and most exclusive club in Charlotte, with notable members from real estate tycoon Johnny Harris to Charlotte Bobcats owner Michael Jordan. And they have an entire year to prepare. But what could not have possibly happened did. And sometime this week, Gary Zagar will probably pay for it. This is Art Chansky. See ya. Well, thanks a lot, Art. 727 at WCHL, 27 minutes after 7 o'clock. You can enjoy an evening of laughter and reflection with Carol Burnett coming to DPAC for one show only this Mother's Day, Sunday, 7 p.m. Back by popular demand, comedic legend Carol Burnett will host an evening with off-the-cuff conversation with the audience, a format that grew out of the question-and-answer session she shared with her studio audience on each episode of the Carol Burnett Show. And we're going to give away a pair of tickets on WCHL's Facebook page. Enter before tomorrow at 5 p.m. I'll announce the winner on Wednesday morning. We'll also have some tickets to give away this week via live call-in on WCHL, so stay tuned. You can win some tickets to see Carol Burnett at Durham Performing Arts Center. And she is one funny woman. Still great to see her still out on the concert tour. Right? You're doing these shows all over the place. What a legend she is. 728, 28 minutes after 7 o'clock, WCHL.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Convenience store coffee is known for being convenient, but at Cruisers it also tastes great. Our Beans Cafe coffees are made from fresh brewed Arabica beans. Choose from light or dark roast and flavored coffees to suit your taste. We're sure you'll love our coffee. We guarantee it. If you're not happy, simply let us know and we'll give you your money back and brew you a fresh cup. Fresh, fast, and great tasting coffee, guaranteed only at Cruisers.
Cruisers, good to go.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Big Al's Cheap Tires. It's half off, $30 for your annual vehicle safety and emission inspection, available today only for $15. Go see the friendly professional staff at Big Al's Cheap Tires to take care of your annual NC State vehicle safety and emissions inspection. The name says tires, and Big Al's Cheap Tires is a great selection at great prices. Check out their other affordable auto basics while you're there, including alignments and oil changes. It's half off from Big Al's Cheap Tires, and it's available for a limited time. So buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This is only a test. This is a test of the emergency alert system on 97.9 FM WCHL. This is only a test. FM WCHL Chapel Hill is a member of the Emergency Alert System. This concludes this test of the Emergency Alert System.
Women Starting Over After 50, a nonprofit organization dedicated to the support, topical education, and social opportunities for women 50 and over, is sponsoring their first fundraiser on May 18th at Patterson Mill. They will have music, food trucks, tattoo, and artist vendors, a kids' corner, and drawings. If you would like to be a vendor, please contact Donna Nelson at 919-918-3916 or mail giraffe3productions at yahoo.com. Thank you, WCHL, for caring about our women.
Good morning. It is 7:30, bottom of the hour. Time to take a look at your Chapel Hill cover of weather presented by USA Flooring. Now offering smart carpet made from sustainable materials. Tough, durable, with a lifetime stain warranty. USA Flooring, 3612 Durham Chapel Hill Boulevard. If it goes on your floors, it's in their stores. Widespread showers this morning. Numerous showers. Isolated thunderstorm is possible in the afternoon. Our high today about 65. Chance of rain is 80% all day. It is 58 degrees right now. Tonight mostly cloudy. Still 60% chance of rain, and tomorrow mostly cloudy with a 50-50 chance of showers or thunderstorms. Rainy for several days in a row here in WCHL. Not good.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Right. What it said were weapons that could do significant damage. Correspondent Alan Pizzi.
The massive explosions that rocked the Syrian capital destroyed shipments of missiles bound for Israel's arch-enemy Hezbollah, according to unnamed Israeli officials.
The Israelis claim the consignment included Iranian-made Fatah 110 missiles, capable of delivering half-ton warheads deep into Israeli territory with pinpoint accuracy.
Former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, retired retired General Richard Myers is a CBS News military analyst.
These missiles are not just a threat to Israel. When you get a terrorist organization like Hezbollah with this kind of weaponry, I think it's cause for concern for lots of people, not just that region, but Europe, United States, other places.
Through an interpreter, Syrian Information Minister Omran Zoabi warned,
"The international community must realize that the complications of the events in the region following this aggression have become more dangerous."
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
Good morning. It is 7:32, 28 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL. Monday morning, really cloudy day. A big chance for showers and maybe even a thunder shower today. High today, about 65 degrees. It's also kind of breezy out there this morning. It's gotten an amazing amount of publicity, and certainly it should have. NBA player Jason Collins, the first openly gay athlete to come out while playing in a major American team sport. And on the collegiate level, the University of North Carolina is taking steps of its own to ensure that the athletic community is welcoming of LGBTQ student athletes as well. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
There is certainly an openness and a desire to create an inclusive and welcoming environment.
That's Terry Phoenix. She's the director of the UNC LGBTQ Center. Phoenix has worked alongside Cricket Lane, UNC's assistant athletic director for student athlete development, to educate students, athletes, coaches, and staff about the importance of creating a safe atmosphere for LGBTQ student athletes.
And I do a lot of education work with athletics, so pretty much every year I talk to the incoming first-year football players.
Phoenix says UNC plans to participate in the You Can Play project. It's a national campaign dedicated to ensuring equality, respect, and safety for all student athletes without regard to sexual orientation. The National Hockey League Players Association and the National Hockey League announced its partnership with You Can Play in April. Universities like Duke, Miami, and UCLA have all produced content for the project. Phoenix says the It Gets Better video, released in April of 2012, also shows the university's attitude towards acceptance. In the YouTube video, UNC Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham, along with more than 30 student athletes from 10 varsity teams, promoted anti-bullying and suicide prevention for LGBTQ teens. Phoenix is also a member of the university's new task force that's charged to review and enhance the university's policies and procedures for handling student-on-student complaints of harassment, sexual misconduct, and discrimination. It's being chaired by Christy Hurt, UNC's new interim Title IX coordinator. Phoenix will bring her background in counseling and violence prevention to the discussion on sexual assault.
That policy, while a lot of people have talked about it as, you know, specifically sexual assault, it actually is supposed to be covering a broader area than that.
The task force will meet throughout the summer and present recommendations to current policy by the end of the summer. For more information about the UNC LGBTQ Center and the You Can Play project, or to watch the UNC It Gets Better video, visit our website, chapelboro.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The university is holding the Think Fast Forum today. It's a discussion about the Boston Marathon bombings, featuring UNC's experts in public policy, religious studies, history, journalism, and law.
The Boston Marathon bombing was definitely a traumatic and important event, and I think a forum like this can contribute to better understanding about the risks involved, how this came about, what we need to do to prevent things like this in the future.
That is Forum Speaker David Schanzer, professor of public policy at UNC and Duke. He's also the director of the Triangle Center of Terrorism and Homeland Security, a research initiative between UNC, Duke, and RTI International.
I hope to talk about the issues of motivation and the questions of radicalization of individuals and what causes that and also how it can be prevented.
A forum is happening from 6:30 until 8:30 p.m. today at the George Watts Hill Alumni Center on the Carolina campus. It's free and open to the public.
I expect we'll have agreement on some issues but disagreement on others, and that's what these kinds of events are useful to do, to have dialogue and debate.
Speaker Louise McReynolds is a professor of history and is currently studying how sensational murders have raised a number of social and political questions.
Because as an historian, I always want to have some larger perspective on situations that happen this quickly.
For a full list of speakers at the Think Fast Forum, you can visit WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Again, the Think Fast Forum happens tonight from 6:30 until 8:30. At the George Watts Hills Alumni Center on UNC campus, that is right next to Keenan Stadium. State residents will have to wait to find out whether the state's first rule surrounding hydraulic fracturing will be approved. In the meantime, some local residents are afraid that oil industries might have too much influence over any rules that are ever allowed to exist. Here is local science expert, WCHL and ChapelBrew.com's The Science Guy, Jeff Danner.
Here again, you know, if in the end there is no consideration of the broader concerns for protecting our water and resources, you know, I have a lack of confidence that they'll write a good rule in that case.
Last year, hydraulic fracturing, otherwise known as fracking, was formally legalized in North Carolina. Since then, the North Carolina Mining and Energy Commission has been charged with creating regulations for the procedure. Well, last Friday, the commission was set to formally vote on its first rule, which stated that miners would have to publicly disclose certain chemicals that were being used. But at the very last minute, commission members learned they couldn't consider the rule yet because officials from Halliburton, one of the country's biggest oil companies, believe it's overly harsh in its current form. During fracking, miners drill high-pressure fluid and chemicals into the ground to obtain natural gas. Many local politicians and residents, such as Danner, have questions about how the practice should be monitored to make sure it stays environmentally safe. Danner says this could be just the beginning of a larger pattern where high-powered oil industries have too much influence over the rulemaking process.
There are many states where the drilling industry has been successful in implementing the rule the way Halliburton wants it.
Danner adds that he believes the commission came up with the axed regulation only after productive and very careful consideration.
9 months that the commission has been trying to write the rules, they've gotten lots of input from all different sources, and I'm sure it's been a challenging project for them to complete. And during that time, they considered all of those inputs and came up with this rule. But then at the end, this big oil field company giant comes in and just is able to influence our state government to turn away from the commission's work.
The commission's rule is now set to be revised by the North Carolina Department of Environment and Natural Resources. Nathan Millian, manager of Carmel Mall, confirms there was a break-in at Carmel over the weekend. Millian says he believes an unknown number of people broke into Panzanello restaurant and then from there entered the mall. Millian says the front window of the bead store was smashed through. He reports the cash registered the bead store was also damaged. He believes the intruder or intruders left through Panzanella as well. WCHL News Time, 7:39. 21 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL. Professor Lou Margolis has today's commentary coming up. He wants to know, should the UNC football team be able to call itself conference champions? That is on the way. And, of course, we have the usual stuff this half hour, the word of the day, clean joke of the day. Today's WCHL hometown hero is Jim Kitchen. And you probably heard about his involvement with Launch as of late. We'll talk to him about not only Launch, but some of the other community involvement he has had, and it's quite extensive. Plus, in just a few minutes, we're going to take a look at your traffic and weather together on WCHL.
Guess where I'll be this summer? Chapel Hill Gymnastics. The community's most popular gymnastics facility is offering summer camps. Your children, ages 3 and up, will learn new skills, make new friends, get exercise, and have fun. Chapel Hill Gymnastics Summer Camp take place in their 7,000-plus square foot climate-controlled gymnasium at the corner of Eubanks and Millhouse Roads. Register online today at chapelhillgymnastics.com. I'll be at Chapel Hill Gymnastics Summer Camp. You should come with me.
You wouldn't start a home repair project without the right tools, and if you're starting your own business, the right tools are essential to success. At the UPS store, we have a small business startup toolkit that includes a private mailbox, packing services, flyers, brochures, business cards, and more. What's in your small business toolkit?
Ask about our Small Business Startup Toolkit today at the UPS stores. We love small business and we love logistics.
The UPS stores at Chapel Hill North on Fordham Boulevard next to the Chapel Hill University Inn and in Meadowmont.
You know, getting older isn't easy. Chronic pain, balance issues, driving after dark. These are the challenges seniors face every day. At Home Instead Senior Care, we understand these battles and why they're so important to you. We're not babysitters or maids, nurses or taxi drivers. We are caregivers, dedicated to helping you maintain your independence. At Home Instead Senior Care, we know the battles you're facing. Call us at 919-933-3300 and find out why at Home Instead Senior Care, to us, it's personal.
If you're over 60 and young at heart, you're looking for more than just a place to live out your years. You're looking for the Cedars of Chapel Hill. Our unique community in Meadowmont offers you all the independence and financial benefits of owning your own home without all the hassles, so you can pursue other goals and also enjoy the peace of mind of having a continuing health care plan in place. Make your next chapter in life your best chapter. Call us to learn more about the Cedars. Life has been good to you. At the Cedars, it gets even better.
Listen at home or while you work with live streaming on chapelboro.com. 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Good morning. It's 7:42, 18 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL. We have 58 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, and more on your weather coming up just a moment here. WCHL, kind of wet and breezy out there this morning. Rand Northam is here, and Rand has had an exciting weekend and back hard at work this morning at WCHL. And what's happening this morning at chapelboro.com?
Well, chapelboro.com is, we're still enjoying the newness of Chapelboro 2.0 and loving every bit of that. We do want to turn your attention to the lifestyle and opinion section. We've got No Lie Brew House lands in the Triangle. That's our top story from our lifestyle section this morning, speaking about the No Lie Brew House, so you'll want to check that out. Lots of arts and entertainment, lots of events from this past weekend and the past week. Mm-hmm. Actually ran into Susan Murray, our photographer, in the grocery store yesterday.
Really?
She was grabbing some groceries. She said, I'm about to go home and edit all these pictures. She's got a bunch of Scene Around Town galleries going up this weekend as well. So you'll want to check all those out.
Was she taking pictures in the grocery store or just out of
habit? She was not taking pictures in the grocery store. She was just stopping by after taking a bunch of pictures. Then she was going to go home.
She is a picture-taking machine.
She is. She really is. And some great ones. Man, she's really gotten some great ones lately. Yeah. And
a very
talented lady. So we've got those Scene Around Town galleries posted on our website as well. Dr. Tina LaPage has the most recent local buzz column of the parenting page, so you want to check that out. Also, there's the Chapelboro Top 100. We've mentioned that a number of times, and we always want to turn your attention to that in case you don't know about that. If you see your name on that Top 100, give it a click and see just why your name is there. It's a great little way to show, you know, how we reach all the people in our community, why you might be up there, and you might be surprised why your name is up there. Maybe mm-hmm. somebody's writing about you, or you're in some kind of news story or something like that.
You never know.
That's right. You can get up-to-the-minute weather updates as well on our website, chapelboro.com. Lots more instantly live streaming there as well on our website, chapelboro.com.
You know, Freddie Kiger and I emceed the Dancing with the Stars of Carolina
yes.
event on Saturday night.
Yes.
I assume there's going to be a photo gallery on that
of course.
Later on. And we had a great time. Congratulations to Mayor Mark Clement for winning the competition.
You know, not surprised at all on that
yeah,
one.
He was really good.
We were talking in the newsroom, actually.
Yeah.
We didn't make any bets. I think it would have been all, you know, thinking that he would have won. But we were all talking about it and thinking that he might have wrapped it up, and he did.
He was really good, and all of them were good. And
I bet they were.
Also,
yeah.
Tina Cunningham won the People's Choice Award.
Nice.
Where all the people who were there voted at the tables.
Very good.
Voted in their favorite, and Tina Cunningham won that, so it was great, and Tina's whole family was there. Bubba was there, and he was really proud, and so were they all.
That's great.
A lot of people told me I looked good on Saturday night, and I have to give all the credit, because I was wearing the tux, and to give all the credit to Julian's Menswear downtown.
Very nice.
You know, you don't see me dressed like that very often, so I hope somebody took a picture, because it doesn't happen very much.
Well, I'm sure we'll see a picture there on one yeah. of Susan's Scene Around Town galleries.
Well, if you need a tux, you need to look really good for a special occasion, Julian's Menswear downtown on East Frank Street.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we will talk to you a little later on. We're going to get a look at traffic and weather together in just a couple of minutes here. 7:46, 14 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Lou Margolis. Who would have thought? The UNC football program has now recognized itself as champions of the ACC Coastal Conference. Even though the NCAA clearly informed UNC that, quote, should a member institution be ineligible for postseason competition due to NCAA sanctions, it will be ineligible for regular season or divisional recognition, unquote, the Department of Athletics has decided otherwise. The football team is the champion because they would have been the champion had they followed the rules. I would like to suggest that before choosing to flaunt the sanctions that it brought upon itself due to academic fraud and other violations of NCAA rules, and before it spent limited resources on championship rings, banners, and billboards, the Department of Athletics should have looked to its own glossy strategic plan. One of the values in the plan is responsibility, do what is right. Is it right to violate the spirit of the rule? Isn't being the champion the ultimate recognition on the field of play? If so, how is it right to claim the championship when UNC did not play in the championship game because it was ineligible? If doing what is right is not accepting the punishment, what does it mean then to have do what is right as a value? Perhaps the Department of Athletics is expressing its second value, innovation, find a better way. If our football team is prohibited from being recognized as champions because we violated the rules, a better, more innovative way to be champions is simply to call ourselves champions. How will football players give voice to the value of service? Put others first. What will they say when they are engaged in service to the sick kids they visit in hospitals or children in classrooms or on local playing fields? When those kids ask, innocently and naively, if the UNC football players are the champions? Did anyone in the Department of Athletics discuss with members of the university community whether it was a good idea to bend the rules to declare unilaterally a football championship, given the embarrassing scandals that UNC has recently been forced to address? The Department of Athletics should be asking itself what exactly its newly developed mission means. We educate and inspire through athletics. Is the department educating its athletes and the university community that through athletics it's okay to manipulate rules to accomplish other goals? This is Lou Margolis.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. What You're Saying on the Street.
I'm Ann Brenner. Some of us who are morning people might prefer breakfast over dinner, but plenty of us would rather go for a midnight snack. We hit the streets of Chapel Hill to find out what's your favorite meal of the day and why.
Elaine Murphy and I live in Chapel Hill. Dinner time because it has meat, potatoes, and vegetables.
My name is Bernie Yisgit. My favorite meal of the day, breakfast for supper. Why? Because I don't get to eat it at breakfast. And I like breakfast food, and it's generally been a family thing.
My name's Amber Baldridge, and I'm a freshman at Carolina. I think my favorite meal is dinner. Such a versatile amount of options. I always like to try something new, so it's fun to experiment then.
Brian Waters, I live in Chapel Hill North. I like salmon, a little bit of salmon, a little bit of Caesar salad, just because it's healthy for you. I try to stay away from a lot of cows and, you know, chicken and all that stuff. So, yeah, man, I go the fish route.
Deborah, and I'm currently living in Mebane. Probably dinner because it's more of a family meal and everybody's together.
Pierre Molster, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Today, Chick-fil-A, because it might be my only meal.
What's your favorite meal of the day and why?
My name's Caroline Pence, and I live in Carrboro, North Carolina. My favorite meal of the day is dinner, because it's the meal that I prepare for our family, so I have the most control over the kinds of food that we make.
I'm from Cali, and I am in Chapel Hill. Breakfast, because I have all day to stop feeling guilty about it.
Kathleen, and I live in Chapel Hill. Oh, lunch, definitely, because I think my digestion is best, you know, between around 12 or 2, something like that. I get energized the most.
My name is Dee Dee Corvinus, and I live in Carrboro. It really depends on what I'm going to have to eat. Not so much the meal as what I'm eating. I was just describing that there's a meal at the Red Bull that's tempura shrimp with candied walnuts and broccoli and a white sauce. One of my favorite meals.
Nora Durham. Breakfast because it gets me a good start for the day.
This is Officer Jim Morgan at the University Mall and here at Chapel Hill. Breakfast, usually where you've slept all night long and you get up, you need to have something to nourish your body to get going. And I try to be a workaholic, so I have to have something to get going.
That's What You're Saying on the Street.
on 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT, managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at igotfixed.com.
All righty then, time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL, and this traffic report is brought to you this morning by Fifth Season Gardening. Organic gardening, homebrew, hydroponics, cheese making, canning, and much more at their downtown Carborough store. Fifth Season, not your garden variety gardening store. And now, with your morning traffic on WCHL, once again, here is Rand Northup.
Thank you very much, Ron. Well, Monday morning still starting off just fine this morning. I-40, 15501, NC-54, the Durham Freeway. Not reporting any accidents or delays at this time. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, be sure to give us a call. You can be a WCHL Road Warrior. 919-967-8363 is the number to call, or you can tweet us at WCHL. And as always, we ask you do that safely.
All right. You know, I just saw Tony Gore walk by the window. Man.
Nice.
This is an exciting day.
Yeah.
All kinds of things happening around here. Well, your WCHL Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you this morning by Carolina Inn. All kinds of things going on at Carolina Inn, a daily special. Today is Monday Madness. Buy one entree and get the second half price in the Carolina Crossroads Bar between 4 and 6 p.m. and also between 8 and 10 p.m. Menu online at CarolinaInn.com. It's 58 degrees. Widespread showers in the forecast for this morning. High today in the middle 60s. Big chance of rain in the afternoon as well. 80% chance of rain all day. Tonight, 60% chance of rain. Tomorrow, 50-50 chance of rain with a high in the upper 60s. We won't really get any sunshine until Thursday. 7:53 at WCHL. 7 minutes until 8 o'clock. Ron Stutz. Wayne Pond joins us now. It's been a busy weekend. Wayne Pond, ready to get you going with a good word for your vocabulary today.
Oh, good morning, Big Ron Boy.
How you doing, big guy?
Well, I got kind of a... not a downer, but a bit of a qualifier here. Shall we put it that way?
Okay.
For a Monday morning.
All right.
Here's a word that echoes Ron Stutz's deep devotion to the scriptures, which he spent many hours this weekend deeply immersed in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man, that says it all. All right. The word of the day is Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Now, I understand, of course, that this is a name, but it's also, what is the term the etymologists use? An eponym, meaning that it is a name that carries larger significance than what we call one particular person. Jeremiah, J-E-R-E, M, M as in mother, I-A-H, J-E-R-E, M-I-A-H, Jeremiah. You want to define the word of the day for me, Ron Boy?
I don't have a clue.
You don't have a clue? All right. A person who complains continually, has a gloomy attitude, or one who warns about a disastrous future. Is that upbeat enough for you on a Monday morning?
Yeah, sounds good. I've never heard that before.
Come to think of it, in the best sense of the word, I mean, the timing is perfect. Professor Margolis hit the nail right on the head. More power to him if you're listening, Professor Margolis. Let's call him a Jeremiah, but we'll give it a capital J and say that it's put a plus next to it and not a minus. Are
all
you
right,
in
buddy.
Favor of that?
Yeah, that's right. I am.
Ron will say anything to get this painful conversation over with.
That's right.
All right, Jeremiah, there is your word of the day, J-E-R-E-M-I-A-H. A person who complains, has a gloomy attitude, or who warns about a disastrous future. Well, speaking of which, have fun in the sales meeting today, Ron.
Hey, thank you so much. You know, I love them. I love any kind of meeting. Hey, thank you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
7:55 at WCHL, 5 minutes until 8 o'clock. And the word of the day from Wayne Pond, brought to you by Frank Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, and define it. If you get all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers.
Monday morning, ladies and gentlemen, this is 97.9 FM, WCHL. Hi, I'm Ron Stutz and Brian Chakos. Look at him, dragging in here.
Dragging.
After the long weekend.
Dragging.
I mean, you're...
just spent the weekend in Myrtle Beach playing a ton of golf.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow, well, good for
Wiped.
You.
Exhausted.
Yeah.
But it's Monday, we got to be... how to get back to work.
How did you play?
Played all right.
Yeah?
Played okay.
All right.
Invested in a belly putter. Well, you know, been helping
invested
with...
invested in a what?
In a belly putter.
What is that?
It's one of those... people say it's a cheating putter.
Really?
Yeah. It's a little bit longer than a normal size putter, and it helps you anchor and do some different things. So
okay.
We'll see. It helps the golf game.
I'm not a golfer, so I didn't know what that is.
It helps the golf game, Ron. It's okay. Good.
All right. Well, good for you. I try that, man.
Anything
in your old age to prop you up a little bit and help you go.
That's right. That's right, man.
What, you got a good joke?
I got a good joke, and this is from my beautiful wife, Courtney, who sent me this joke. So
right,
I got to give this one.
What was she doing while you were playing golf, by the way?
She was coming up with this joke.
All that time?
She was.
This has got to be a really good joke.
Yeah, she was at home visiting her parents. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but also come with
I just want to make, I'm looking out for her welfare. I want to make sure she's okay while you're out with the boys playing golf.
Well, that's right. That's right. No, she was definitely well taken care of. So. All right, folks, here is the clean joke of the day. A bear walked into a restaurant.
A bear walked into a restaurant,
ordered his meal. Then, after he ate, he proceeded to shoot the waiter and leave. The police came immediately, and the manager explained what happened, but said it was hopeless to try and find the suspect because he had no idea what type of bear it was. The police officer said, "No problem, sir. It was definitely a panda." The manager asked, "How could you possibly know that?" The police officer pulled out his nature book and said, "See, look right here next to the panda. It says, 'Eat shoots and leaves.'"
7:57, 3 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL. Good morning.
General Manager, Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Jim Kitchen is today's WCHL hometown hero. Congratulations on the recent launch of Launch. Tell us what Launch is.
Thanks, Ron. Launch is a business accelerator for our for-profit, non-profit, and social entrepreneurial ventures. Its goal is to create impact, and we do that through some great workspaces, a collaborative work environment, and by connecting our ventures with highly relevant and experienced business mentors and executives, people that have been there and done that.
And because of the hard work and dedication of Jim and others, Launch has gotten off to a great start.
We have some excellent ventures already at 321 West Rosemary, life science companies, health companies, some internet ventures, some consumer product companies, educational companies, from truly in the startup phase to a little bit more experienced ventures. We're off to a great start.
Jim Kitson contributes in so many ways to our community, and what led him in this direction?
I started as an entrepreneur myself at UNC back in the mid-80s. I started teaching entrepreneurship at UNC several years ago. I had a number of fantastic students that were interested in starting businesses as part of the curriculum. I had some extra desk space up on Franklin Street, asked them if they wanted to use that space to help create and nurture and grow their businesses, and this sort of took off from there. It's been a fantastic collaborative initiative.
Jim Kitson's very involved with the community, and he's very happy to be here.
Ron, I've been so blessed living in Chapel Hill for 30 years. I started this business, was able to sell it back in 2005, trying to give back just to have a gratitude for the health and the success that I've had, and I think being able to share that with other people is truly one of the joys in life, and having that contentment of being able to help other people has really sustained me. I've been blessed with a wonderful family, my wife and two wonderful, healthy kids, which has allowed me to devote a lot of attention to other causes like Make-A-Wish, giving computers to kids and families that can't afford the Public School Foundation with the fabulous work that they do, Children's Hospital. There's just so many wonderful organizations in Chapel Hill and our communities.
It's because of so many great people like Jim Kitchen that this is such a special place.
This community has soul. It has heart. We care about one another, and that's truly, I think, why people come here, why they stay here. So many people graduate from UNC and then stay here. It's really because of that.
When it comes to Launch, Jim says the collaboration is unprecedented between Chapel Hill, Orange County, the Downtown Partnership, and the university.